Let's pray.
Lord, we're in your holy presence this morning. We acknowledge your holiness and our need. We seek your face. Visit us again today, God. May you be glorified. May we humbly be vessels that you can use in this world to draw, that your Holy Spirit can use to draw men and women to you, O God. Help us to be Jesus to those we meet. Use this service today for your glory. Bless each student here. I thank you, God, for every one of these students. Bless them abundantly. May their hearts be burning with your truth, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. I love that term. I don't use it just because it's a repetitious thing. I use it because it's the most blessed name in all the world. It's the name above every name that is named in heaven and in earth. And the precious truth is, the fact is this morning, that we can possess Him. Paul said that I've counted all things but loss, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I don't know if you know that little song, I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. Do you know that? How many of you know that? Let me see your hands. There's a number of you do, a number of you don't. Be good song for you all to learn. I'll tell you a little something along with that. It's real precious to me, that song is. First of all, because Jesus is precious to me and I want more of Him. And the second reason is because my daddy, 84 years old, dying of Alzheimer's, had forgotten who his family was, who his wife was, had forgotten all those things. His memory just wasn't functional anymore. And like 2 weeks before he died, I had the privilege of coming up from Bolivia to visit. And the last night I was there, the last memory that I have of my daddy, laying on that hospital bed there in the living room of the house, my mother was caring for him. And I was sort of looking after him that evening. My mama needed to go pick up a few groceries. And I noticed that Daddy was laying there on the bed and he had his arms up. And I thought, well, he's probably a little disoriented, doesn't know really what he's doing. And he was there about 5 minutes with his arms up, his hands upward. And all at once he broke into singing, I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. Help me. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. More and more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him all of me. You like it? I do. It's precious. Let's try it one more time. You okay? I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. More and more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him all of me. You know what, brothers and sisters, young people, that's just what it takes too. Giving Him all. Giving Him all to Him. I probably shouldn't tell too many stories because we need to go on with the truth. But, you know, this thing of raising our hand in Bolivia, there's a lot of beggars around, a lot of them that are true beggars. I know there's a lot of beggars around today, and some of them have healthy bodies and could work, and they're not true beggars. But I'm talking about true beggars. There's true beggars down there, and there's some that aren't true. But the Lord just gave me a love in my heart for true beggars. And the one beggar, he was an older man, a little like I, a little bit older, not terribly old. And I noticed that every time I'd come by, I'd go into Santa Cruz, you know, to take care of my business. It's our largest town, where we do banking. It was the nearest traffic light to us. It was about 6-7 miles away. But anyway, got there into Santa Cruz and down in the bus terminal, there was this beggar. And I noticed that every time I came by, for some reason, he got a big smile on his face. We were friends. But you know what else he did? Every time I came by, he had his hand up. Why? It's because he was needy. He was saying, please. One day as I came by, my dear friend, he had a smile. He saw me. He smiled. He had his hand up. And the Lord said, Ed, that beggar is you. I'm a beggar before God. 2 Timothy 2:9, I believe it is, took on a meaning, took on a preciousness to me. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Why? It's because we're beggars before God. We're needy men and women. So we want more of Jesus. Amen? You raise your hands if you want more of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And you know, when we want more of Him, He's just anxious and eager to pour out of Himself upon us and fill us. By the way, how many of you went on Facebook with Jesus? How many of you got a message from Jesus since yesterday on Facebook? You know, I was blessed with a message on Facebook from Jesus. Now, here's our smartphone. Amen? This is our smartphone. All the wisdom we need, we find here. And we have to open this up. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know a lot about how to use a smartphone for your phones. But this one, it's a treasure. I love it. And I opened it up this morning. And you know how you open it up and find a message from Jesus on this? You know how you do it? Well, one way is you open this book up and where you're ready to read, you put your name there. It's a message from Jesus for you. It's the message of Jesus Christ for your heart. And you pray, you ask God, you ask Jesus, Jesus, you give me that message. You help me to understand it. I want to receive it. My heart is broken and opened. I want to receive it. And He's faithful. If you're asking and seeking and knocking, He's faithful. He wants to. And I'll tell you, I just want to share with you what Jesus gave to me on Facebook this morning, on my smartphone. It says, and we read it yesterday, and I was reading across it for my time with the Lord this morning, and it just blessed my heart. In Matthew chapter 8, it says that Jesus had, all these people had come to Jesus, and He had healed that leper, He healed all these people that were sick, and then He crossed the sea, and He stilled the storm. And He came to the land, the country of the, and I don't know if I know how to pronounce that in English. In Spanish it would be Gergesenes, but you know, in English I don't know how you pronounce words real good. You spell it one way, you say it another. In Spanish you say it the way it's spelled. But anyway. And it says there met Him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, And then here, this stuck out. So that no man might pass that way. Jesus chose a road that no other man could go. And Jesus touched my heart this morning and said, Ed, you were the one I delivered on that road. I had never seen that there before, but Jesus chose a road that no other person could take. The enemy was too fierce. The enemy was too raging. Everyone was scared, and only Jesus could deal with the enemy. And He's the only one that can deal with him today, and He's chosen to take that road. And that's why we want to learn more of Him today, is because He's chosen the road that no other man could take. And He did it out of a heart of love. We were concluding yesterday, and I sketched a little here on the board about Jesus and who He is, who He was, who He is today, and who God is. You know, we often talk about the three persons of the Godhead, and I know we mean it well, but you know, there's three beings in the Godhead. God is a threefold being. And I know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they reveal themselves as persons, don't they? But He created man in His own image. He made you and I threefold beings. We have body, soul, and spirit. Now, just because, you know, that our soul is one part of us and our body is another part of us doesn't mean that we're three people. We're one person. And we're not complete without being those three. We're complete because God made us to be that way. God is complete. He's threefold being, but He's complete. And God took of His being and placed it within the bosom, within the womb of Mary, and there was born, begotten of God, not created by God, begotten of God, Jesus Christ. He was the only begotten of the Father of God that ever lived on the earth. He was the only God-man. And so, God, we can't explain God. We can't fathom God, and our minds just can't wrap around God, but God is, and He's everywhere present. There's God. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God is full of truth. He's truth. He's light, and He's truth, and everything that we read here in the Bible is all about truth of God. It's His Word. And we see that through redemption, new birth, baptism, holiness, worship, separation from sin, prophecy, the fruit of the Spirit, and on and on and on. All those wonderful truths. And they all come down and dovetail in Jesus Christ. That's who Jesus Christ was. He was truth. That's who Jesus Christ, that's what He lived. And that's what He taught. And we're here to learn of Him. Jesus was, Jesus lived, and Jesus taught truth. Truth. And it all comes from God. Well, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him." You want to be complete in your Christian life? You really want to have a Christian life that's meaningful, a Christian life that just overflows? Be in Jesus. Be in Him. It's all in Him. It's good for you to come here to Bible school and listen to what others have to say and what teachers are teaching and be encouraged in that way. That's good. But there's nothing that takes the place of you personally and me personally opening our life to Jesus Christ to just come in and dwell there. You're complete in Him. In Him. And really, it's all those people that find their completeness, their joy, their satisfaction, all in Him. They are His church. And He is the head of the body, the church, which is the firstborn. Yes, that's in Colossians 1:18, right? Colossians 1:18. I just want to make sure I don't misquote that. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That's speaking of Jesus. That in all things he might have the preeminence. And we want to give him the preeminence this morning. Now this Jesus, this marvelous Jesus Christ that came down from heaven, that came down from the Father and was baptized, as it were, of the Spirit there on the day of his baptism. The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and abode upon him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God stating that he had begotten Jesus Christ. I guess the question comes, was Jesus Christ the Son before the incarnation? I don't think so. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." The sonship of Jesus Christ had a beginning. The deity of Jesus Christ always was. Who was he before? He appeared. He appeared in the Old Testament by times. We have in the book of Joshua, chapter 6, I believe it is, that Joshua was out just before they went in to conquer Jericho, and he met someone out there in the field, didn't he? And he said, "Who are you? Are you for us or are you against us?" I guess Joshua felt as leader in Israel, he had a responsibility to find out who this man was. And this man, this heavenly being, said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And he said, "What saith my Lord to his servant?" This man was not just, he was not just man. He was, I believe he was the second part of the Godhead. Captain of the Lord of hosts. And he received worship. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, as Joshua asked him the question, "What saith my Lord to his servant?" And we could expect, oh, well, he's going to give him a whole list of instructions how to go out there and fight when in the land of Canaan. You know what he told him? He said, "You loose your shoe from off your foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And Joshua did so. You're out to fight the enemy. You're out to face a cruel world. You're out to face a hostile world. Oh, how can I overcome? Worship. Truly worship. Take your shoes off your feet. Humble yourself before God. There's where the victory is. And I don't want to interfere and cross over on Brother Keniston's subject, but that's where the victory is, in Jesus Christ, in God alone. Worship. Worship. We want to worship him this morning. Well, this marvelous Jesus, he called the fishermen. This high and lofty and holy Jesus who came down out of heaven. He began his earthly ministry walking by the seaside. He sees Peter and Andrew and Peter there. He says, "Hey man, follow me." Now, I don't think this was the first time that Peter and Andrew had some knowledge of Jesus. I really don't. I believe that they had a lot of the influence of the teaching and preaching of John the Baptist. And John had said, "Behold the Lamb." God had been working in their hearts, and their hearts were lowly and open. And when Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And they forsook their nets and they followed him. And he went calling other lowly-hearted men. You know, Jesus calls everybody, doesn't he? Sure, he speaks to every heart. But you know, it's only the lowly hearts that receive him. Only the lowly hearts. If your heart isn't lowly and humble, if you're not poor in spirit, you know what poor in spirit means? It'd be interesting to hear your definition of poor in spirit. But one of them that I really love, I think it comes about as close as anything. Blessed are they that don't think much about themselves. Ouch. That hurts, doesn't it? We tend to be so self-centered. Everything that happens. What about my plans? What about me? Blessed are those that don't think a lot about themselves. For they shall see God. Jesus calls, and there's a response to those that are poor in spirit. Those fishermen responded to his call. Jesus really doesn't, he's not concerned today whether you have been to college. It's fine if you've got a college degree, that's all right. But the lowly heart, he is absolutely the essential for Jesus, for you to receive Jesus. We must receive Jesus. God doesn't want us to glory in how high ability we have, or in the, he doesn't want us to glory in our humility. He wants us just to be humble. You know, it's possible that we can be proud of our humility. Well, then we're not very humble, are we? But Jesus wants the truly humble, broken heart. And he calls. He's calling today. And today we want to think for just a little while on listening and responding to the call of Jesus. Listening and responding to the call of Jesus. Like we said, Jesus calls to everybody. We must listen. It says in John again, John chapter 6, where Jesus said that they shall all be taught of God. John 6:45, as it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard. Are we listening? Jesus is calling. Are we listening? And hath learned of the Father. And there's a lot that can go between those parentheses and hath learned. Have you learned? Have I learned? I'll tell you, maybe you've learned. I'm still in school. There's so much to learn. And about the time we think we've learned it, God just takes and breaks our little box all up. He says, I have a lot more. This isn't everything. About the time we figure it all out and think, now this is the way God does it. And God just takes and breaks that little box right open. He says, hey, I'm a lot bigger than your box. But he that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And I see there progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification. God is at work teaching us, and he keeps on. It's all lifelong he's teaching us. All lifelong we're learning of God. And all lifelong we're to be coming to Jesus. Jesus. We say, well, when we're coming to God, we're coming to Jesus. Yes, but Jesus has a special place, a special ministry to us. And I know, we say, well, Jesus died and he rose again and he's ascended to glory. He's with the Father. Yes. But Jesus said, I will give you my Spirit. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We noticed yesterday, that's how you get on Facebook with Jesus, right? And we all with open face. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. A lot of Christians get this liberty thing all mixed up. And they say, oh, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I can do what I want. And you can. We can do what we want as long as we just want to do the will of the Father. The liberty that's spoken of there, I really believe refers more to the liberty that we give to the Spirit of God to work that transforming work in our life day by day by day by day by day. As we look into the mirror and we see the glorious light of Jesus and we see spots on our face and our being. We see spots that we have never known were there before, perhaps, and never dealt with them, but there they are. That may be sort of an uncomfortable kind of Facebook, but it's the kind we need. That kind that as we give liberty to the Spirit of God, there's a transformation. And Jesus keeps calling. He calls us from whatever level we are. You might say, well, I am a Christian. I've received Jesus Christ. I feel I have the Holy Spirit in my life. Praise God. But Jesus still calls. He calls us from whatever level we are, from wherever we are in the journey, Jesus calls. He calls us to higher ground. He says, come on, there's higher ground. Let's go. And sometimes brings us through some pretty difficult experiences. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, and we should be praying, Lord, whatever it takes to bring me through to glory, just do it in my life. It's a little scary sometimes, isn't it? Because it might be that we're ready, that we'll end up in the hospital. It may be that we'll lose some loved one. We say lose a loved one. We go through some hard experiences. And it's not accident. It's because we've said, Lord, whatever it takes, you do it. That's giving the Spirit of God liberty. You know, the Spirit of God, in Romans chapter 8, it says that the Spirit of God maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that knoweth, I'm just going to turn to that. Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also, verse 26, helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It's true. We don't know what to really ask for by way of experience. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth your heart and my heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God knows our hearts. He searches us, and the Spirit has our best interests in mind. He that searches our hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. There's Jesus, according to the will of God. The Spirit of God and Jesus are one, and they're making intercession. They know our desire. They know our cry. They know we're saying, Lord, I want more of you. And I don't know what I need to draw nearer to you. I don't know what I need to make it through to glory, but I give you the liberty. Do what you need to do. And when we're at that point, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I don't believe that verse 28 applies to a reckless, indifferent individual. Goes out on the highway and acts foolish and has an accident and gets killed. I don't think that's really what that refers to. That refers to the broken heart before God that gives God the liberty just to do whatever He wants to do. That hears the call of Jesus to the higher ground. Says, yes, Lord. I don't know how to get there. But if you'll lead me, I'm willing. Do what you need to do. Listening and responding to the call of God. I tend to get a little emotional when I talk about this subject because I remember, and I know. I remember when I was your age, and I remember what I went through in life. And it wasn't something real easy. It wasn't something I would have asked for. But God knew I needed it. You know what, young people? God loves you. God wants you. God doesn't want you to act foolish and waste your life. He wants you in His kingdom. And I know many times we say, well, I just want to know what God's plan is for me. Listen, just relax. The fact is that God includes you in His plan. And that's a lot more important than just what about me. It's just, I'm in Him. Isn't that wonderful? That's relaxing. We're just, He includes us. He loves us. He wants us. And He takes us step by step from where we are to where He is. And that's glorious. You know, just like Ruth down there in Moab. Her father-in-law, what was his name? Elimelech, which means God is king. And he was the head of a household. And there was a famine in Bethlehem, Judah, because there was apostasy. And he went looking for bread where God never really intended His people run for bread down to Moab. And I'm sure he was just planning to be there for a little while and come back to Bethlehem, Judah, like a good Jew would. But you know what happened? When we turn our face away from the house of bread, the place, the abundant blessings that God really has for us, instead of in brokenness seeking the face of God, we turn and look for satisfaction. We look for bread somewhere else. And he went down there and he died in Moab. And his sons died in Moab. He had never planned that way, but that's the way sin does. We begin to dabble with sin and sin takes us from where we are to where we never intended to go. And eventually we die there. But praise God for His wondrous mercy and love, and He reaches out His hand to this Moabitish young lady, Ruth. And Ruth, by faith, turns her face toward Bethlehem, Judah. She cleaves to Naomi, and I see Naomi as the type of the Holy Spirit of God. She turns to Naomi and she says, Naomi, I'm going with you, regardless what it costs. Where you go, I go. Where you live, I live. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'll die. The Lord do so to me, and even more so, if aught but death part me and thee. She was saying, in essence, life isn't even worth living without you. And that's just where God wants us to get to. God, life's not even worth living without you. And then, the Spirit of God has the liberty to lead us to Bethlehem, Judah. The land of bread. The blessings of God. The storehouse of blessings. And there is Boaz, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, there to receive His Gentile bride, if you please. We're all a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. We're all Gentiles. And I believe Jesus Christ is taking a Gentile bride to Himself. And one of these days, real soon, is the trumpet's going to sound and the Lord's going to shout. And He's going to gather that Gentile bride, rapture her right on up to Himself. There's going to be a great wedding feast. Now, you may not understand prophecy that way. That's fine. I love you anyhow. But I just believe it the way it says it there. And I love it. It's just my interest. I love to know what the Father's got in His plans, and I don't near understand it all, but I really love it. And I just want to be a part of that Gentile bride that's caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And you know, I get way off my subject here, but you know, the Lord's going to shout. And what's He going to shout? Well, sometimes you read Isaiah 26 and down through there, it talks about of the prophecy of Jesus, and thy dead men shall live. And then He says, awake and sing. thou that dwellest in the dust. Hey, there's a possibility. Yeah? That Jesus is going to shout and he's going to say to the dead, awake and sing. In Spanish, we have a little song book that says, Despertar y Cantar. And I love that little book, and I never thought so much about the title until all at once this jumped out at me in Isaiah chapter 26, where he says, awake and sing. That's resurrection stuff. How glorious. Well, talking about listening to Jesus, we're going to need to listen to him even after laying in the tomb, aren't we? But our soul's alive and it's in glory. But when he comes back, awake and sing. Rise up out of there. You don't belong in the grave. Responding, listening to the call of Jesus. Now, there's a lot of voices around today. There's a lot of voices around. And we might say, since Jesus isn't here in person, physically, how do I know? Of all the voices, how do I know which is the voice of Jesus? And I think it's real important that we look at that this morning. Because when the disciples asked Jesus about the end time events, what is the first thing Jesus told them? The first thing he told them in Matthew 24, I believe that is, he said, beware that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Sounds like a good message, right? And I'm telling you here this morning that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Redeemer. I'm telling you those things. But I want to tell you something, young people. Everything that I tell you, I want you to take and search it out in the Word of God. Because if I tell you something that doesn't harmonize with God's Word, I'm not telling you the truth. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. And so, whatever I'm telling you, I want you to take the Scriptures. I want you to take the Bible and make sure it harmonizes here. Because I have the potential of being wrong. But I want to be right. Yeah, sure, I want to teach you truth. But everything that we hear, it needs to harmonize with God's Word. Beware, lest any man deceive you. Jesus won't deceive us. He never does. He is truth. He is totally truth. He lived truth. He was truth. He taught truth. He is. But any one of us can be wrong. We can be mistaken. Now, if you find something that you don't feel harmonizes with truth that you're hearing here, please come and tell me. I want to line up with truth. I want my life to line up with truth. There's something in the Old Testament that is real important for us to use as a principle as we think of truth, as we think of God's Word. When Israel came out of Egypt, God told them that they were to build an altar of stones. And he said it was to be whole stones. Stones that had no hammer or chisel used on them. Those whole stones represent truth. God's Word. Represent God's Word. You know what? It's so easy for us. And we're so prone to do it because we're so think so much about what I like and what I think and what I've been taught and what my customs are and what my background is, that we want to make sure that the Bible corresponds with what I think and believe and want and all that. We tend to take the hammer and the chisel and make sure this fits our life. And God is saying, don't you do that. You make sure your life fits the truth. Let the stones be whole. Let your life, let me chisel on your life. Let the Holy Spirit of God come in and do that transforming work that we were talking about there from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 and 18. transformed from glory to glory. It's the call of Jesus to holiness. Jesus wants us to be holy. As He which hath called you is holy. Are you holy this morning? I trust you really are. By the blood of Jesus, we are cleansed from all sin. And God looks upon us just as though we had never sinned. Do you have any room to grow? Are there faults? Are there needs? Are there things in your life that you can... Absolutely. As He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. And that's a progressive experience. It goes on and on and on through life. So there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of programs, seminars, and books and whatnot all out there that you can read and you might get excited about. And you think, whoa, wow, you know, I was having this certain struggle and here it looks like this is the answer. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I want to tell you something. You check it out here. Before you get taken all up with something that would lead you off to the left or left, yeah, the right or the left. God wants us to stay in the center of the road, and Jesus is the road. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life, and He wants us to stay on the road. Now, in Spanish, it says it more clearly. In English, it doesn't say, I am the road, the truth, and the life. In Spanish, it says, I am the road. And Jesus is the road. He's the way. He's that path we take to glory. And He doesn't want us to get off in the ditch on the right hand or on the left. Always remember this. There's for every mile of the road, there's 2 miles of ditch. And the devil doesn't care which side you slip off on. Because you can go off on a side that looks really good and religious, but it's not Christ. You can get off on the side that's all liberal and just drops everything, and it's not Christ. Here is Christ. Right here. Young people, your greatest defense against being deceived, against the counterfeit, is a knowledge of the Word of God. Read it. Open your life to it. Ask God to make it, to reveal it to you. Here is your defense. In God alone and in His Word. You know, the people that want to check out counterfeit money, they don't just look to learn what counterfeit is, a whole lot of counterfeit. They learn to know what the genuine is, what the real is. That's the way it is here in our Christian life. Right here is the real. Learn it. Know it. Know it to the measure that when you hear something wrong, when you hear something that doesn't correspond with this, right away, it's like, huh, that's not Jesus. That's the voice of a stranger. Jesus said, my sheep. Amen. Do you know the voice of Jesus? Put yourself in the study of the Word of God. There's no substitute for it. All the listening and all the stuff you can hear may be good stuff, but study God's Word. Open it up. Open this smartphone, if you please. Open it up. Here is all the wisdom. I know today, in this age, we Google everything we want to know here, but right here's the knowledge. Here's the wisdom that's from above. Here it is. Doesn't matter if you're a little old-fashioned, if you're connected to Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus just wants us to be listening to Him. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we need to be careful that we're not being deceived. We live in days that are very deceptive. But let's look at the genuine this morning. We could spend all day talking about the false. It won't really do us a lot of good. We need to learn the genuine. The call of Jesus. What is the call of Jesus? How do we know it's the call of Jesus? Well, number one, the call of Jesus calls us to find rest for our soul. Come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I know we say, oh, well, that's the sinner. That's the person that has never given their life to the Lord Jesus. Not necessarily. I know what it's like to wrestle and not have the rest that I should have about an issue in life. And I want to bring that to God, and I'm wrestling with it. And the night is not with rest until there's a right response. Jesus says, come, son, come. You're wrestling with this. You need to find rest. I have rest for your soul. The call of Jesus calls us to a rest for our soul. For our soul. That long, sleepless night of fear and dread doesn't need to continue. There's rest. There's rest. Now, I know that there's different personalities, and sometimes we may have a mental thing that just doesn't give us. But Jesus wants us to find rest. Ask Jesus for it. Even if you feel like your situation is a little, ask Jesus for that rest. Find rest in Jesus. He said, He's promised it. I'll give you rest. The call of Jesus. And we could turn to that. We don't have real time for that. But the call of Jesus in Matthew 4, 18 to 22 is to forsake all and follow Him. He called those disciples. He called those men to be disciples. And He said, come, follow Me. And they forsook all and followed Jesus. You might say, well, it's just not that simple today. We live in a different day and age, and well, I've got a business going. I need to get this business going, and the list goes on and on. The call of Jesus is the same. He calls us to forsake all and follow Him. Lay it down. Put it on the altar. Say, Lord, it's no longer mine. It's all Yours. I won't, by Your grace, I won't allow this to interfere with Your work in my life. With my involvement in Your kingdom, this is now Yours. And you can, if you're a carpenter, if you're a farmer, if you're a, I don't know what all your work is, and you can go to your job and do all to the glory of God. Because it's His. It's not yours anymore. It's all His. And if He calls you to sell it out and go somewhere, sell it out and go. This life's very short. First 20 years is the longest. The second 20 flies, and the third 20, I don't know what happens to it. It's just gone. And now I'm in the fourth 20. And, you know, but life's so wonderful when Jesus is there. I'll tell you what, I'm happy to be an old man in Jesus. I really am. I love Jesus. And life is just so worthwhile. It's just so meaningful. I think it's wonderful to get old in the Lord. Not to have our relationship get old, but I mean get physically old and have Jesus precious. It's just wonderful. Forsake all and follow Him. The call of Jesus calls us to worship, to devotion, and to praise. You know, it's just something about when we respond to Jesus and just say, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. There's something that just overflows. Just overflows. Makes us want to sing. Not just want to sing, but makes us sing. I believe God's people love to sing. God's people love to sing. The reason is because God gives them a reason to sing. Overflowing. God's call. We could look at Matthew 7, 24 if you want to jot down a verse for John 4, 23 to 24 on devotion and worship and praise. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Now, calling us to that. He calls us to obedience. The call of Jesus is always to obedience. Dear young people, always remember that this Word of God isn't just a lovely story. This is the will of God for our lives. It's to believe and then to obey. God wants us to believe. This idea, oh, it's just all about believing. Well, I'll tell you something. If you really believe, you obey. I believe, too, it's all about believing. Because the people asked Jesus, they said, teach us, tell us what we need to do to work the works of God. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on me. And you know what? When we really believe, something happens. When we really believe, we want to obey. We will obey. We may not know everything that God wants us to be obedient to right away. But we listen. And we respond. And He leads us. That's why it's so important that He leads us. I don't think any of us are altogether where God wants us to be. He's leading us. He leads us to obedience. He leads us to victory over sin. Higher ground. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 to 28. Read it. And Ephesians chapter 6. He talks about the whole armor of God and finding victory there. He calls us to holiness of life. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 4. He calls us to self-denial and cross-bearing. Luke 9, 23 and 24. He calls us into harmony with His Word, His will. Titus 2, 10 to 14. This grace. This wonderful grace of God that we read about, and some people say, oh yeah, it's all by grace. It is. That's right. Are you saved by works or are you saved by faith? And the Bible says you're saved by grace. So you're not saved by works and you're not saved by faith. You're saved by grace. That's what the Bible says. But when grace comes in, the grace that brings salvation is the grace that teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live holy, godly, righteously in this wicked world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what grace does. Now, if you have the grace of God, it's active. Amen. It's active, and it just leads you right on. Well, Titus 2, 10 to 14. That's what the call of Jesus does. It leads us on into harmony. Jesus' call is to all. I see our time is here to close. But the humble, only the humble and the lowly, the broken heart, can receive that call of Jesus. Those who are poor in spirit. And the call of Jesus is a personal call. It comes down to every one of us. Jesus isn't overlooking any one of you here today. You might think, well, I'm just nothing. You're precious in the sight of Jesus. His call is a personal call to each one, to everyone. Now, we can know all this in our head, but Jesus wants it to come down a few inches, to get into our hearts, that we receive Him and change our lives from darkness to light. From earthly interest to heavenly interest. He wants to kindle a fire that can never be quenched. And He wants us to drink of the water that flows like a river. Let's receive. Let's hear. Let's be His. Lord, You just bless these young people. May every one of them find in You light and life, joy and salvation, glory and honor. May they find their life filled and transformed by Your precious work through Jesus Christ and His precious blood. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.